You're listening to Eureka on Monocle 24. This week, we tell the story of how one team built the lightest folding bike in the world. It all started when one young Romanian designer living in London decided to make a folding bike for his girlfriend. Through serendipity, he then met Robert Campbell, CEO of the advertising agency Outsider, who brought into the fray his friend David Richards, CEO of the automotive engineering company Prodrive. Together, the three created a super high-tech, incredibly lightweight, and beautifully designed bike called the Hummingbird. Today, Robert shares the Hummingbird story.
My main business is I run a film production company, and I was a partner at the time in a digital business, and the young girl who worked there had a boyfriend who was bicycle mad, and I got an email while I was away on holiday saying, can my boyfriend come and see you? He's built a bike. Yeah, right, built a bike. So I replied and said, look, when I'm back, have him come by, thinking that this will come to absolutely nothing, but never mind, you know, we may as well, nothing ventured, nothing gained. I came back from holiday, and a week later, in walked this guy carrying this bike, folded up. And I thought, God, that looks pretty nice. I said, you know, can you unfold it? So he unfolded this little bike, and then I picked it up. And I was absolutely gobsmacked, because it weighed nothing. Literally, I was like, Jesus, what is this? Anyway, he explained that he had always been cycling mad and fixed bikes and one thing and another, and wanted desperately for his girlfriend to ride with him, ride bicycles, and also to ride to work, to keep her fit, etc., etc. So he'd set about building her a bike. And he stopped because he thought, why am I doing this? I'll just go and buy her a Brompton. So he put everything aside and went and bought a Brompton. Well, Bromptons are pretty heavy things, and when it's folded up, and they lived on the fourth floor. And after about a week of this, he said, Peter, I can't do this. It's ridiculous. Carrying this thing upstairs is killing me. So he said, fine, and he sold the Brompton. He went back to his little bike that he was building and built it for her. And it turned out to be perfect. She could ride it, she could lift it, she could carry it, and it weighed under 7 kilograms. And she was delighted, and he thought maybe there's something in it, more to the point, she did. And that's when they came to see me. Aesthetically, I've spent my life collecting beautiful things. I was very fortunate. I grew up in the most beautiful city in the world, Florence in Italy, and from that point my eye was trained, if you like, or I just love things that are very beautiful. And I thought, not only is this incredibly beautiful, its form is staggering, but it's incredibly functional. It actually does what it says on the box. It's incredibly light, it takes no time at all to fold, and it's a really good bicycle to ride. So there was no doubt in my mind. Immediately, it's like, I'm in, count me in. What do we do next? You know, well, how are we gonna make this? I know absolutely nothing about bicycles except that they got two wheels and a chain. And he said, oh, we should go and make it in China. And I stopped him immediately. And I said, look, I don't know much about bikes, but I do know that I have no interest in spending the rest of my life on aeroplanes going back and forth to China. And besides that, if I'm gonna get involved with something, I want it to be perfect. I want it to be built perfectly. I don't want to be waiting for a shipment to come over and then they're all knackered up or whatever. Through a bit of luck and judgment, I have a lot of contacts in the racing world, the automotive world, one of whom's a really dear friend called David Richards, who's the chairman of a company called Prodrive. And apart from winning Le Mans this year and just setting a new lap record at the Nürburgring with a Subaru, they also are the best composite makers probably in Europe, I would think, maybe not the world. And they build bits for McLaren P1, the Royal Navy, you name it. So I said, Peter, we're going to go and see David, because if he's interested, we have a plan. At least we have something we can make and we know it's going to be made well. So we got on the train with this little bike at Marylebone Station. It was funny, just waiting for the train. People were coming out going, what's that, what's that, what's that? And at that point, I thought, oh, hello, there is more to this. So we got on the train, we went to see David, we took it into the house, and he's got quite a big kitchen, and unfolded it, and he rode around the kitchen. And he got off the bike and he said, yeah, that's good. I think that bit on there could be re-engineered. We could make that tighter. And I knew just by the way of speaking that he was in. And sure enough, he was. We formed a partnership between myself, Peter and Prodrive. Peter left his job. He was an architectural modeler. We employed him at Prodrive. He then became a full-time bike builder, for want of a better word. But the difference is he had a bank of 120 engineers to strip this bike back, keep the concept, but rebuild the bike so it would be engineered to perfection, to within an inch of its life. And in fact, the hardest thing I found during this whole process is telling engineers to put the pencil down, because they will keep going if you give them a chance. And the result was this beautiful little product, which we sent off to be tested. Every bike has to get standard tested to make sure you can sell it. And so they took the first one up to Manchester, and a complete boffin was there in his little lab coat and how's your father. And he grabbed the bike. Poor lad, he must do this a million times a week, you know, testing bikes. Anyway, he clocked the sticker on it, which said engineered by ProDrive. Honestly, he said, if this bike fails, I will eat my shoes and you can come and watch me do it. There's no way this bike will fail if it's built by ProDrive. And sure enough, it passed with flying colours. And at that point, we were kind of on and we were making bikes. And I couldn't believe it. From making things at last minute, i.e. films, or they disappear in the ether, I was making a product, which I really enjoyed. And it's taken us the best part of 15, 16 months to get where we are now, i.e. selling them. But it's been like going back to university for me. I've learned so much. As the bike had been built for Ligia, Peter's girlfriend, we said, well, why don't you name it? Because, you know, you all have a go, and sometimes it's best just to say, go on, what do you want? And she just came out, she said, I'd like to call it Hummingbird. And at the time, I was a bit like, well, there's the Hummingbird. I think there's a bakery or, and in my business, a company called Hummingbird Music. And but then I just thought, actually, it's kind of perfect because it is incredibly agile, incredibly light, and incredibly beautiful. So we stuck with Hummingbird. You know, I called David. I said, it's going to be called the Hummingbird. And he went, yeah, great, love it. Yeah, blah, blah. I mean, it sounds silly. It took 10 minutes. The original bike was yellow. The first bike Peter built was yellow. It was going to be orange, funnily enough. But in the workshop, there was another girl building a metal bike in orange. She was having none of it. Apparently, she said, you can't paint your bike orange like mine. You're copying me. So he painted it yellow. So hence, the branding became the yellow colour. The market leader in a folding bike is Brompton, and it's an absolutely fantastic business. And I'm an enormous admirer of what they do. By luck, by this guy coming to see me, I suddenly realised actually there is slightly a better way of making a folding bike. A lot less bits, a lot easier to use, and a lot lighter. And Rise, in my view, rides as well, if not better. And I just thought, right, we'll make it first, and then we'll worry about who we sell it to. I just want to make it. I want to see this thing come to its full potential. Our buyers are varied, actually. We have people who live in London and want to commute. We have people who are incredibly affluent who want something different to commute on. They don't want to be like the rest. I've got one guy, he's never going to ride it. He's put it on the wall. An old age pension in California. A couple have gone to Japan. But, you know, they're not cheap bikes, but they're built absolutely better than probably any bike in the world. And each one is handmade. Each one is hand painted. If you want your initials on it, we'll put your, you know, they are as good as that. They're handmade objects made in Britain. Don't hurry stress test analysis people, because they get really shirty. They're there to do a job. And I did one day, and I got my head bitten off, and it was quite right. Don't walk outside the safety zones in a factory, because the guy will come up and give you a right old bollocking, which sure enough he did. But more than that, it was just learning how to take something from an idea and take the bits and make something that you can actually sell and that works and that is safe and that people admire. And learning to do something completely different, I think, from outside of what I normally do. And watching an engineer redesign something which sounds really dull, I know, a rear swing arm, was kind of fascinating. And he's doing it not because it's pretty, but he's doing it because he can save weight but keep the strength. And when you listen to these guys and how they work, you know, the guy did the swing arm, built the front suspension on the Aston Martin that won Le Mans this year. He kind of knows what he's talking about and designs all that. So when he says, actually, we don't need that bit there, you kind of go, oh, fair enough, okay, whatever you say, I trust you. It's been a brilliant journey, actually. We'd like to build a lot of bikes. It's as simple as that. We'd like to develop a brand and have it admired and respected and trusted. Trusted, I think, more than anything else. At the moment, we have the non-electric bikes out. In January, we are building an electric one. And I think that's going to be the game changer, because it's absolutely unbelievable. Not only is it equally beautiful, it weighs under 10 kilograms. So that's less than an ordinary folding bike, but it goes like shit off a shovel. And it's just incredibly entertaining. And puts the pleasure back in urban cycling in a way. I love cycling. The arse of driving in London is every time you get to the traffic lights, you've got that, oh, the heave. You know, here I go with my backpack on, I've got to get this thing, it's just like, off we go, and you're ahead of everything else. So once that comes to market, I think the company will dramatically increase its size and billing, and then we have to get more people and one thing. But ultimately, it's build a brand that people trust and something that's really beautiful. And design magazines are coming all over us now, which is interesting, to Zine and Creative Review, because it's pretty. And if your listeners go to the site, you'll see that functionally, you know, Peter did a really smart job. There are very few bits. You know, if you look at a lot of folding bikes, there are more bits on it than the Titanic. This, it's so easy, so logical when you see it, that its function is brilliant. So hopefully, in 5 years' time, I'll be sitting here. Well, I'll be calling you from the yacht in the Mediterranean.
Thanks to Robert Campbell from Hummingbird. Eureka's back again next Friday. But before then, tune into The Entrepreneurs on Wednesday. This show is edited by Christy Evans. I'm Daniel Giacopelli. Thanks for listening.